Welcome to Ancient Words, Modern Message. I'm your host, Roger Womble. The past is a mirror, and the more we examine what came before us, the more we can understand where we are heading. Each year in the springtime, nearly every Jewish family in the world gathers in their homes to celebrate Passover, which begins with the traditional evening meal called the Seder. Though there is great diversity within the Jewish community regarding their level of religious practice, Passover is one time when they are unified, moving together through the various components of the traditional Seder, as has generation after generation of their ancestors, with virtually no variation. Using a guidebook, a Haggadah, Hebrew for the telling, written in whatever language they are most comfortable with, they move through the telling of the story of the first Passover in Egypt 3,500 years ago, when their forefathers were released from centuries of slavery through a series of plagues. But the Seder has an even deeper meaning, and an even more important message for the Jewish people. It's not just about family, friends, and remembering Egypt. In this episode of Ancient Words, Modern Message, in his fifth Bagelside Chat, the director of Hebrew Christian Fellowship, Roger Wombold, shares some thoughts about the amazing symbolism of the broken matzah at the Seder table. So let's settle in with a cup of coffee and maybe a bagel for this episode called It's More Than Matzah. Shalom, friend, and thanks for joining me for this episode of Ancient Words, Modern Message, our fourth Bagelside Chat. Maybe you are listening to this episode with a cup of coffee by your side, maybe even a bagel. But I'd like to talk to you informally in this chat about a very special holiday that is being observed by Jewish people around the world at this time of the year. And I am, of course, referring to Passover. And this year, the first day of the eight-day Feast of Unleavened Bread, at which Passover is observed, the first day is sundown, begins at sundown, on Monday, April the 22nd, and then continues until sundown 8 days after that, because it is, in fact, an eight-day holiday, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But without a doubt, the most important and the most popular part of this eight-day holiday takes place on the first evening, the beginning of the whole period of time, and that is the traditional meal, which is the Passover Seder. And it is at this time that Jewish families gather in a home, and they gather with friends, with neighbors, with co-workers in some cases, and there they observe this traditional meal. In fact, tomorrow, as I'm recording this message, women around the world, and certainly men in some cases as well, are going to be busily preparing for this very important and very wonderful meal, the Seder. The Seder, of course, is the means by which Jewish families gathered around their table. There will be approximately 15 million of them around the world who will observe Passover. The Jewish population, nearly the whole Jewish population of the world, and together they will remember the events that took place in Egypt 3,500 years ago. when after 400 years of slavery and bondage in Egypt, after generation after generation cried out to God for deliverance, for liberation, for freedom, God raised up a leader in the person of Moses. And God gave very direct instructions to Moses regarding what he was to say to Pharaoh, the leader of the Egyptian people, and to demand that Pharaoh let the Jewish people go and allow them to leave Egypt after 400 years of slavery, and eventually make their way to their ancient homeland, the land promised by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land of Canaan, the land we know as Israel today. We know, of course, that Pharaoh was reluctant to do that. In fact, he refused to do it. And what followed was a series of 10 plagues designed to put pressure on Pharaoh to release the Jewish people. But it wasn't until the 10th plague that Pharaoh, albeit temporarily, agreed to allow Israel to leave. That 10th plague was the worst of the 10 because it was the death of the firstborn of every household. God gave very clear and explicit instructions, however, to Israel, the Jewish people in the region where they lived, which was Goshen, how they could be protected from experiencing that 10th plague, the death of the firstborn. And those instructions consisted of Jewish people taking a lamb into their home on the 10th day of the month in the springtime. And they were to keep that lamb in their home for 4 days, during which time they would examine the lamb very, very carefully to make sure that it was completely without any kind of blemish or spot. It had to be a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then on the 14th day of that month, God said, that lamb is to be killed, and its blood is to be taken and placed around the door frame on the sides and over top of the door. And God said to Israel through Moses, when I pass through the land to actually initiate the 10th plague, when I see the blood on your household over the door, I will pass over your home, and you will be spared the horror of that death. Hence the term Passover, or the Hebrew word Pasach. Every year, including this year, when 15 million Jews around the world will be observing Passover, every year the Jewish people remember those events in Egypt and how God freed their ancestors from bondage and slavery and actually made it possible for them to be freed from the penalty of death, which was imposed on every other household in Egypt. Now, this is done, that is, remembering those events, in a variety of ways around the table. But the concept of the hour is symbolism, because virtually everything on the Seder table has a symbolic significance. There is, for example, a special plate on the table that is called the Seder plate, and it has on it a number of objects, and each one of those objects is symbolic of something experienced by the Jewish people during that first Passover in Egypt, as recorded in Exodus chapter 12, 3,500 years ago. But perhaps the most intriguing practice around the table, and before I even introduce that, I should mention that there is a specific order of events that is followed every year in every Jewish household, no matter where in the world they might be, no matter what language they speak as their first language, no matter what country they're in, no matter what culture is theirs. When they come to Passover, and specifically this commemorative meal, there is a very specific order of events. And that is called the Seder, because you see, the word Seder is a Hebrew word which means, in English, order. So it is the order of events that take place around the table. And for centuries, Jewish people have been following this order no matter where they might be, and so it will be again this year during Passover 2024. But one of the most intriguing parts of the Seder has to do with a stack of three pieces of matzah that is on the table when the Seder begins. At the very, very beginning of the Seder, the person who is leading the Seder around the table and guiding the family through this series of events throughout the evening, these symbolic events, when the leader actually says and calls attention to the stack of three pieces of matzah, and then he ceremonially takes the middle piece of matzah out of that stack of three, and he breaks it. And then he wraps it in a white linen cloth, or perhaps in a white cloth bag, and then he sets it aside for the duration of the evening until the very end of the evening meal. In a sense, it is said that he hides it away. And then the meal proceeds from there. That middle piece of matzah is called the afikomen. The afikomen, spelled variously, but commonly spelled A-F-I-K-O-M-E-N. Afikomen. And as I said, the piece of matzah, the broken matzah, wrapped in the white linen or the white linen bag, hidden away, stays hidden away until the end of the evening. And then at the very end of the evening, perhaps 2 or 3 hours later, because it is a long evening meal, at the end of the evening, the leader of the Seder says, well, our Seder is almost concluded, but we cannot be finished until we eat the afikomen. And with that, he says to the children around the table specifically, he says, does anyone know where the afikomen is? I've hidden it. Do you know where it is? Well, of course, every child around the table knows where it is because they've watched him hide it earlier. And they also know what's coming. And so they raise their hands and they say, I know, I know, I know. He calls on one of them and the child goes to where the leader has placed the afikomen, brings it to him. However, before he receives it and before he gets it from the child, he actually has to buy it. And he does that perhaps with some money that he gives to the child, or it could perhaps be with a piece of jewelry, or it could perhaps be with some other kind of a gift. But the important thing is it has to be purchased with the payment of some kind of a price. And then after he makes the payment, then he actually takes the afikomen and before the family, he unwraps it from the white linen cloth or the white bag. He breaks it, breaks off a piece, and eats that, or begins to eat it after saying a blessing. And then he passes it around the table and everyone takes a piece, breaks it off, and eats it. And shortly after that, the evening is completely finished, and the Seder is over. Now, that is the most interesting part of the evening. And as I said, the operative concept of the evening is symbolism, because each one of those items on the Seder plate has a symbolic significance as a reminder of what took place in Egypt. And so the afikomen is a symbol of sorts as well as other items on the table. But the question is, what is the actual symbolism of that? Well, I would suggest to you in this bagel side chat that there is an interesting symbolism in the afikomen, which reminds us of the sacrificial offering of Jesus to provide the redemption that has been designed by God for all of mankind. Because let's take the different components of the practice of the afikomen at the Seder. The stack of three pieces of matzah. It is an interesting reminder to us, from our perspective, of the Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now we know that the concept of the Trinity is something that Jewish people overall struggle with. Now that's understandable, because historically, a long time ago, when they were in the land of Canaan, they were intrigued and drawn into the religious practice of the people around them, which consisted of polytheism, worshiping many gods, and worshiping idols. And in fact, they were drawn into that practice, and because of that, they were judged by God, ultimately resulting in the Babylonian captivity. And after 70 years of Jewish people being exiles in Babylon, they returned to their own land, and there they came with a fierce determination to never again worship more than one God. However, we know that the Old Testament and certainly the New Testament scriptures make it clear that there are not three gods, but that the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, exists in three persons, the persons of the Trinity. The second person of the Trinity is God the Son. And always when we refer to the Trinity, we refer to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The middle person of the Trinity is God the Son. And so it is that it is the middle piece of matzah which is taken and which is broken at the beginning of the Seder meal. Just as the body of Jesus was pierced, was broken when he died on the cross. And just as the broken matzah at the Seder table is taken and wrapped in a white linen cloth and hidden away for a period of time, so the broken body of Jesus, the middle person of the Trinity, God the Son, was taken down from the cross, wrapped in white linen grave clothes, and hidden away for a period of time. But on the third day, the body of Jesus was miraculously, gloriously raised after the price had been paid. And he came out of those grave clothes in a glorious resurrection, and eventually appearing to many different people as the risen Christ and ultimately ascended back into heaven. Now, remember that the leader of the Seder cannot take the afikomen and unwrap it from the white wrappings until the price has been paid. And that is so reminiscent of something that the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, where he writes this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver and gold, from your vain manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." You see, the price that was paid for the body of Jesus to be released from the grave clothes was not silver, gold, but rather it was his own precious blood. Peter identifies him as a lamb without blemish and without spot, a sacrificial lamb. Now, that's why it is not at all coincidental that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth in his first letter, 1 Corinthians, when he's addressing the problem of sin that was in the church in Corinth and had not been attended to, he counsels the Corinthian church to remove the sin from their congregation because he says it's like yeast. It's like leaven. It will spread ultimately beyond just one localized area or effect. It will spread just as yeast spreads through the whole batter and eventually makes the whole lump rise. And in that context, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." And so there it is clear that Jesus is referred to by the Apostle Paul as Christ our Passover. Now, we remember that when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples the evening before his death, he gathered there with them to celebrate Passover. He had a Passover meal with them, a Passover Seder. And we remember that a part of that takes place at the end of the meal. Luke, actually, in his gospel record, tells us about that in Luke chapter 22. And it says in Luke 22, verse 19, "And he," Jesus, "took bread," and I pause to remind you that it was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, it was Passover, therefore the bread which Jesus took was matzah, it was unleavened bread. "And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, this is my body." Remember that Jesus is saying, this matzah is a symbol of my body. And remember that the characteristic, the main quality of matzah, unleavened bread, is that it is not leavened. It has no yeast in it. And remember that leaven in the scriptures, as we saw in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul's letter to the Corinthians, is a symbol of sin. And so when Jesus holds up a piece of unleavened bread, he's saying there is no leaven, there is no symbol of sin in this bread. And in fact, when he says, this is my body, it is a reminder to us that Jesus was without blemish, without spot. He was completely sinless. And he goes on to say, this is my body, which is given for you, which is broken for you. Just as that middle piece of matzah, the afikomen, that middle piece of matzah is broken. And then Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. And so that middle piece of matzah, the afikomen, is wrapped away, just as the body of Jesus was taken from the cross, placed in the grave, and then came out of the grave, just as the afikomen, after the price is paid, is unwrapped, and the whole family takes it. And we know that Jesus then went on to say, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do it, remember what I've done for you. But there's more, because Luke goes on to say in verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. I told you earlier that there is an order, a distinct order of events that take place around the table. That's what Seder means. And among those items of the order, there are four different times through the Seder meal when the leader calls attention to the cup that is on the table before each person. And he blesses the cup, and then they take a sip from that cup. And each one of those four sips reminds them of what God told Moses he was going to do for their ancestors, the Jewish people. It's found in Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. Exodus 6:6. God says to Moses, wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Number one, I will. And I will rid you out of their bondage. Number two, I will. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. Number three, I will. And then, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. Number four, I will. But take note of that number three, I will. The third cup. God says through Moses, I will redeem you. And in Jewish homes around the world, that third cup, when it is taken, the leader of the Seder refers to it as the cup of redemption, because God said in that third, I will redeem you. But at the traditional Seder observed by Jewish people every year around the world, that cup is always taken at the end of the meal, and the afikomen is also eaten at the end of the meal. And so Luke tells us in chapter 22, verse 20, likewise, after Jesus took the bread, the matzah, and said, this is my body, just as the afikomen is taken at the end of the evening, likewise also the cup after supper. So this is the third cup. It is the cup of redemption, and Jesus said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so that third cup is a reminder of the redemption that is provided by the shed blood of Jesus. Now, of course, we see all of that symbolism on the Seder table. From the perspective of those who understand the significance of the death of Jesus on the cross for our sins. But what does it mean to the Jewish people around the world? Well, I would remind you of what God said to Israel through Moses when they were still in the wilderness, Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. God through Moses speaking to the Jewish people. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. That was God's purpose for the Jewish people, that they would be a kingdom of priests, that they would actually teach the world about the one true God and his plan of redemption for them. Unfortunately, the Jewish people over centuries and centuries and centuries have not really fulfilled that purpose. And yet, God is not finished with the Jewish people. He is going to use them as he has promised to use them and work in and through them in the future. He is not finished with national Israel. But even now, even when they don't know it, he is using some of their practices, some of their traditions, some of their observances that even they may not understand as an amazing picture of his redemptive plan through his beloved Son, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, Yeshua. I like to say that they are right now a reluctant priesthood. God intended them to be a purposeful priesthood. But even now, when they don't know it, God is using them nonetheless to declare his message through them. And nowhere is that clearer than at the Seder table, the practice of the Afikoman. But I am delighted to tell you in this final moment of our Bagel Side Chat that more and more Jewish people have come to recognize Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, as their Savior. And as they gather in the home of family and friends, many of whom are Jewish people who don't yet know the Lord, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, Jewish people, they are seeing as the Afikoman, as the matzah, the middle piece of matzah is broken and becomes the Afikoman and is hidden away and then is bought back and is unwrapped and then is taken as it is eaten. And then the third cup of redemption is taken. In all of that, they see the truth of the gospel message. And we here at HCF, Hebrew Christian Fellowship, rejoice in the fact that more and more Jewish people have come to this understanding. But we invite you who are listening to this Bagel Side Chat to join us in praying that even this year, Passover 2024, God might be moving in the hearts of many more Jewish people so that many more of them might be drawn to the one who is so clearly seen by those who know him, right there on the Seder table, right before them. God bless you, and thank you so much for listening to this episode of Ancient Words, Modern Message, this Bagel Side Chat, and we look forward to having you with us next time. Until then, shalom, shalom. God bless you. Thanks for listening to Ancient Words, Modern Message. You can expect a new episode every other Monday, so please join us again. Ancient Words, Modern Message is supported by Hebrew Christian Fellowship. To learn more about our ministry or to ask a question, contact us at hcfellowship4819@gmail.com. If you know someone who might be interested in this teaching, please share it with them. And please consider leaving a review of what you've heard on Apple Podcasts. Your input helps us make our program even better and reach new listeners. All you have to do is open up the podcast app on your phone, look for Ancient Words, Modern Message, scroll down until you see Write a Review, and tell us what you think. Ancient Words, Modern Message is produced by Studio D Podcast Production. And I'm your host, Roger Womble, reminding you that the Word of God is living and active. Until next time, showers of blessings on you and those you love.